Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Well, JC, the Western Conference Finals, baby. The Lakers are on their way. And, of course, we still don't know, a little bit surprisingly, but we still don't know who their ultimate opponent is going to be, whether it will be the Los Angeles Clippers, as so many anticipated, or it will be the somewhat surprising Denver Nuggets. But ultimately, JC, it doesn't matter because the Lakers are in the Western Conference Finals, baby. What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Hoopball Lakers podcast with Ethan and JC. JC, I know you have to be ecstatic about what you watched with your eyes last night.
Super ecstatic. Couldn't be prouder of the way the Lakers played all 48 minutes, defensive effort up and down.
I mean, one of the best Lakers games, and granted, I realize the Rockets did not exactly play well in this game, okay? But one of the best Lakers games I have watched in a long time. I mean, franchise record, 19 made three-pointers. This Lakers team up and down last night, it was like nothing could go wrong at a certain point. Am I right or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything seemed to be going right. Yeah, I couldn't believe they were that hot from three.
I mean, it's incredible. You look at Danny Green and KCP. When Danny Green is plus 35 and hitting threes, and KCP is plus 32 and sinking threes, and they both play 25-plus minutes, you know it's going to be a good night from the supporting cast. Markieff Morris was also on fire. And a quiet, at least by his standards, night for Anthony Davis. Only took 9 shots in this game. But really, LeBron led the way. The Lakers played, like you said, up and down, just in a different gear, it seemed like. And although the Rockets made a little bit of a push to try to get back in this game, by the time the third quarter rolled around, JC, the Rockets were basically, they seemed to be 1-2-3 Cancun, is what I'll say.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I even had a nice chase down block from Caruso on James Harden. That was a highlight of the night, probably.
Oh, it was one of my favorite plays of the playoffs, or I should say of all basketball in the bubble so far. I mean, what a phenomenal effort from Caruso. And that was, you know, and that was at a time when the Lakers had a fairly comfortable margin there. And so I think when you look up and down at this Lakers team now, they're exactly where you expected them to be, right? You expected the Lakers to be in the Western Conference Finals at minimum, if not outright in the finals. And we'll get to the discussion about whether it's going to be Denver or Los Angeles. But I think with the Lakers, no matter what, you have to be encouraged by a couple of things. One is, obviously, they played a really good brand of basketball in their last couple of games and really in the last 4 games after losing game 1 to Houston. But two, they seem to be really clicking on all cylinders. And early in the bubble and really even in the series against Portland to an extent, execution was a continued issue that we talked about, everybody was talking about recently. And I know it seems like one of our listeners actually pointed out on Twitter last night, so it seems like a lifetime ago that people were talking about the Lakers are in trouble in the bubble type of tweets. But even in the first round, JC, the execution wasn't there from, you know, kind of what we had expected. I feel like the Lakers are back on this roll, and this is the type of basketball that they were playing before the season got paused back in March. They were playing their best brand of basketball at that time.
Yeah, you're seeing defense create the offense. They're not starting out looking for threes. They're kind of letting the threes come naturally as a part of the offense that's created by their defense. They seem to sort of be a team that kind of ramps up as the series going on. Like one point of concern might be, seeing as how they've lost both game ones of both rounds, is that there's a pretty good amount of rest before each game one, and you're going to have that again because this Denver Clipper series is going to go seven games. So you could be in a situation where the Lakers are going to sit maybe close to a week before, and so rust could be an issue, especially as hot as they're shooting. But they've proven in both rounds that maybe they might start off slow, but they can ramp up.
Oh, there's no question about it. And at one point, LeBron last night gave a sort of patented mean mug look, okay, I'm ready, here we go type of stuff. And, you know, when you look ahead, obviously, and we'll get there in just a couple minutes, but I do want to spend some time sort of breaking down the second round and all of the fallout from it. When you do start looking ahead, though, I think the Lakers are going to be prepared for either, whether it's Denver or the Clippers. And to bring it back to this series, JC, I mean, obviously with the news today that we got, that Mike D'Antoni basically said what I think we all expected him to, which was, hey, it's been great here, but I recognize the ceiling of this team. I'm in my mid-60s. I'm in demand now on the coaching market, and y'all can figure it out without me. And I think the Rockets are in a really interesting place now going forward, because they really can't do much to alter the structure of their team. They're committed to this small ball group, and they just lost the coach who, you know, was best suited, arguably, at least in my opinion, to run the group. At one point last night, we were watching the game, my best friend and I, and he sat there and he said, look, I think the Rockets are what we thought they were, a team that in the regular season is going to run you up and down, is going to give you some problems. But when you play them in the playoffs in a seven-game set, it's just not quite the same feeling, not quite the same threat. And even in a game where last night, JC, you know, James Harden didn't have a bad game. It wasn't like game four where he had just a couple field goals. James Harden was 12 of 20 from the floor last night for 30 points. But the problem is he was minus 29 in his 42 minutes. So, you know, he's not having the effect of making his teammates better out there. Russell Westbrook was invisible once again with more shots than points scored, 13 shots, 10 points, and a minus 23 for him. And even, you know, the godfather of this series for the Rockets, P.J. Tucker, was a whopping minus 38, actually the worst out of anybody last night for the Rockets. And again, it just feels like they were so tired. They felt like they were in a hole that they couldn't get out of. They sort of knew that they were beat. I don't want to oversell the importance of Danielle House because, you know, obviously the Rockets missed him once he got himself banished from the bubble. But at the same time, this Rockets team, this is how they have to play. They play a very short rotation, and they rely on threes. And although they weren't exactly lighting it up last night from distance, 13 of 49 from three-point land. So with a team like that, I just feel like, how do you raise the ceiling of this group sort of regardless of who you bring in to coach? Because to me, JC, I think the Rockets are where they are, and that's all they're going to be.
Yeah, Jeff Van Gundy kind of touched on that in the broadcast, where he was giving the Rockets credit where credit is due and talked about the Warriors teams that they couldn't get past and this Lakers team and things like that. And he was like, were they supposed to beat any of those teams? No, I don't think so. I think this is kind of the ceiling for this Rockets team. And yeah, as expensive as Harden and Westbrook are going to be, and those contracts are really hard to move, even if you wanted to blow it up. Like Harden, I guess, is movable because he probably is worth the price of admission when it comes to that contract. But Westbrook at this point is not.
I mean, if I'm looking at the Rockets books for next year, JC, this team's got over $130 million committed. They've got no first round pick. They're working with extremely limited assets. You know they have championship aspirations, especially from the ownership level, if they're going to dole out this sort of money for a team. But I thought Mike D'Antoni had an interesting quote after the game. He said, you know, somebody asked him, they said, do you think small ball can work in the playoffs? And he said, well, why don't you ask the Lakers? They just beat us with it. And I want to credit us, because if you remember after game one, JC, we sat here and said, hey, how about Markieff Morris in the starting five? So, you know, maybe Frank Vogel's a HoopBall Lakers listener. You never know. but at the same time, I hear what D'Antoni's saying, but Markieff Morris is bigger than Robert Covington. And that's not even counting Anthony Davis. So, yes, they beat them with a version of what could be considered small ball, but I think when you're playing Robert Covington and P.J. Tucker as your two bigs, in a seven-game series, especially against a team that has significantly more size, you're going to run into problems even if they wind up adjusting to you, which is what the Lakers wound up doing.
Yeah, and there was even so many times where, I mean, good defense would be played by the Rockets on the Lakers, and you've got Anthony Davis there to grab an offensive rebound, because who else is going to grab a rebound for the Rockets?
And that's one of the things that we saw in the last couple of games of this series, is the Lakers really taking better advantage of that rebound disparity. In the closeout game five, Lakers had plus 19 on the boards, 50 rebounds for Lakers, only 31 for the Rockets. And, you know, we saw that especially on the offensive glass. It was a lot of one and done sets for the Rockets, whereas it was multiple effort, multiple attempts for the Lakers. And it just felt like after a game one in which we sat here and we talked with each other and we said, man, the Lakers really struggled to get their offense going. Everything was tough. Everything was turnaround. Everything was just so much work to get the ball in the basket. Last night was one of those games where it felt like it was just the easiest thing in the world. I mean, even at one point, Kuzma threw up like a turnaround, kind of chucked it up three at the last minute, and it just was nothing but twine. It was really beautiful. And so there were so many things from this closeout game. I mean, this is the version of Danny Green I want to see. This is the version of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope that can really help this team. And this is the version of Markieff Morris. And I think regardless of, you know, going forward, I assume that the Lakers will return to their typical starting five. But regardless of that, I would like to see more of Markieff Morris, because I do think he brings an element to this team that is not really being replicated unless he plays the minutes he's been playing. What's your take on Markieff's role as we move into the Western Conference Finals here?
I think he's going to be really important. You know, he's probably going to be matched up a lot with Montrezl Harrell, if I had to guess, and also his brother. And so, yeah, he's going to be really impactful. But, I mean, one of the things that's also important about the series to note is that, Anthony Davis and LeBron, not even this to a certain extent. Like, there was a game where LeBron only had 16 points and Anthony Davis only had 13 tonight. And so every game, it was a different combination of guys. You had two great instances of playoff Rondo. And in this game, didn't do much. He played 20 minutes, but he only scored...
I only scored three points.
Yeah, I thought it was a bigger number than that. I was like, oh, it can't be that number. Yeah, I only scored 3 points. And so, yeah, night to night, it can't be the same three or four guys every night, because that's not how you're going to beat the Clippers. You can beat the Clippers by hitting them from all different angles the way they did this Rocket series.
Hey, and Rondo might have only scored 3 points out there, but his brother had one of the most valuable contributions of the game. By being asked to be removed but got inside Westbrook's head at the perfect time. You saw LeBron even just laughing at a certain point, like, man, you too old for this stuff. You too grown for it. And yeah. I think that's sort of, you know, thematic of the Rockets is, like, I sat there and I watched the press conference from James Harden after the game, and, you know, he looked like somebody who had just been defeated. Obviously, there's disappointment, there's dissatisfaction. But he's like, look, these are just opportunities to get better and put the right pieces around Russ and myself. And I thought that was, you know, very interesting sort of takeaway from him, was like, no, it's not on me, it's not on Russ, it's on everybody else. Where I kind of look at him and I say, man, as the leader of this team, even if you know you're not the problem, I feel like publicly you got to sit there and say, hey, I need to do more, we need to do more, me and Russ, me, whatever it is. But to kind of turn around to a bunch of players that include, you know, Eric Gordon, who really cooled off as the series progressed, Covington, Tucker, and then guys like, you know, Jeff Green and Ben McLemore, these reclamation projects basically off the bench, and say, you know, we got to get the right piece around us. I don't think it's as simple as that. I think the Rockets are who we thought they were, and that's kind of the bottom line, you know. Whereas if you're a team that's really looking to improve, like if the Rockets were really interested in trying to commit to a foundational approach that's sustainable, you know, they wouldn't have made the trade of Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook. They would have traded Chris Paul for other, you know, expiring contracts, draft picks, et cetera, et cetera. But now you find yourself in this scenario where you're committed to Harden and Westbrook financially, and it really limits what your possibilities are. So if you're the Rockets, you almost have no choice but to run it back and know what the outcome is going to be to a certain extent, or to blow it up and take several steps back with no guarantee that you ever get back to even the point where you find yourselves currently. So it's going to be a very interesting, you know, sort of reclamation project for the Rockets. I'm very curious to see who they bring in to coach this team. Jeff Van Gundy's name is always floating around this job. I find it incredibly difficult to believe that he would return to coaching unless it was literally the perfect circumstance, just given his broadcast career and the time he spent away from the sidelines and, you know, the commitments involved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll never rule anything out, because I always remember going back in the day and saying, everybody who wanted to connect Steve Nash to Lakers, I said, y'all are crazy. It's never going to happen. Stop talking about it. This, that, and the other. And sure enough, right around July 4th, maybe even on July 4th, it was Steve Nash to Lakers. Now, obviously, that didn't work out as we all wanted it to. But, you know, crazier things have happened. And I don't even have to ask you, JC, who you think that the Lakers are going to play in the next round, because you're talking about the Clippers and saying it's going to be the Clippers. Am I right there?
Yeah. I mean, it's really surprising that this game is going to go seven. This series is going to go seven games, and Denver keeps coming back from huge deficits in this game. They didn't just come back from a huge deficit and barely win the game. They came back from a huge deficit and beat the Clippers down. So that's really surprising to see. And Denver in the seeding games was kind of one of the teams I was worried about just because of their length. Although, you know, at the same time, this Lakers team has proven how versatile they can be, and they've got plenty of length that they just didn't need in this Rockets series. So, I mean, if it's Denver, I'm not too worried there. If it's the Clippers, you've got a whole other host of concerns. You know, Kawhi Leonard, obviously, Paul George, he's on and off in the playoffs, as he sometimes tends to be. But if he's going to be on in that series, that's going to be trouble. Patrick Beverley could be a nuisance.
Beverley did the Clippers no favors in game six by fouling out with basically the entire fourth quarter to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the one thing that is, he's sort of a poor man's Draymond Green, in that he's even more of a hothead, if that's even possible, and he can't control it as well, which is crazy for me to say, because I think Draymond Green is insane. It'd be an interesting series to see.
No doubt, and I think, you know, if you're looking at it from the Lakers' perspective, or really anyone who's on the Lakers' side, we'll call it, I think Denver is probably the preferable matchup, right? Because there's quote-unquote less superstar power, but they have played extraordinarily well, and what I will say is that, you know, sort of regardless, it's going to be a good team the Lakers face. Just one quick note on this game six with the Nuggets and Clippers. As you said, they didn't just come back. They came back and pounded them. JC, they outscored them in the second half 64 to 35. I mean, that is a tape measure job in terms of lockdown defense and in terms of really, really good offense. And I think, you know, it's game seven is going to be a telling one, because it's now two straight games where the Clippers have gotten out to these leads and have not had the ability, unfortunately for them, to be able to put it away in any form or fashion. And that's why they find themselves in game seven. But if you're going to let, you know, sort of Jokic do whatever he wants out there, more or less, I mean, 34-14 with seven dimes in the game six win. And I think that people have really, really underestimated the impact of Gary Harris, because that's a player who, you know, they didn't have when the playoffs first started and they fell in that hole to Utah, but then they got him back and it really changed the nature of their team. He's such an excellent perimeter defender. And the thing that scares me about the Nuggets, just to take the other side of this, because we sort of know some of the more obvious things about the Clippers, right? I mean, you got Kawhi, you got PG, you got Lou Will. I mean, they're a very good team. One of the things that I worry about the Nuggets is that, yes, Jokic is worth worrying about, and yes, Jamal Murray can be a great player on any given night, but guys like Michael Porter Jr., Paul Millsap, even Gary Harris, I mean, these are all guys who can, if you could turn around and they've got 20 points and all of a sudden you go, what's going on here? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they don't just do it the same predictable way kind of Houston did. They've got more variety on in their offensive scheme.
Yeah, exactly. They have, and unlike the Rockets in that way, that can really only play one way, the Nuggets can play in a myriad of ways. So no matter who the Lakers wind up facing, you know, it's going to be a tough series. That said, I'd much rather play Denver than the Clippers, right? Like that's obviously the goal here. So I think everybody who's a Lakers fan listening to this podcast and otherwise is rooting for Denver in game seven. And do we know, is conference finals will start on Thursday regardless now as a result of this game seven? Is that the deal?
I'd imagine so. Yeah, because
because they're not going to give them not even 24 hours to turn around and start the Western Conference Finals.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so the Lakers are going to have, like you said, they're going to have some extended time off. There's good and bad in that, depending upon what perspective you want to look at it from. And I think for the Lakers, as they move forward, you know, they have to be prepared for either scenario. I do want to come back to this Markieff Morris piece, because you and I both agree that he needs to keep his role and, you know, continue to play the minutes he's been playing. To me, I don't see that how that happens with both Dwight and JaVale also resuming rotation minutes. Now, obviously, we got to see both of them as well as Jared Dudley and Talen Horton-Tucker. I mean, we even saw Talen Horton-Tucker in the first half last night. Give me more of that, please. In this what became, you know, sort of a laugher at the end of the fourth quarter. But I just don't see that there's enough minutes, especially with Anthony Davis playing more inside, for all three of those guys to play and AD to get those minutes at center. So where does it come from?
I mean, it probably comes from maybe a big lineup in which you've got Rondo and LeBron as the backcourt, and maybe Anthony Davis is a small forward, and then you can insert Markieff and a big, whether it be JaVale or Dwight, if you need it. Against the Clippers, you probably only need a big to match up whenever Zubats or Joakim Noah are going to be in there. So that's really kind of what to look for, is they sort of have to adjust to the Clippers in that sense, because of all the centers in this series, weirdly enough, Zubats is probably the most dangerous one.
Definitely, and he's been playing well. And I still, you know, at the time the Lakers made that trade, I said, okay, maybe they're trying to get a look at Muscala as, you know, sort of a stretch five type of deal before he hits free agency. Okay, maybe they're not planning to re-sign Zubats. Okay, fine. As soon as I wrote that and shared that publicly, I said, it might have been more of a thought than a tweet. JC, I could not be more regretful about sharing that publicly and having that on the record, because that was probably one of the worst trades I've ever seen. Regardless, yeah. Lakers are...
Yeah, I didn't like it when it happened. I thought he was playing really good. I thought LeBron's embracing of younger players is kind of both surprising and refreshing to see his sort of thought process evolving in how he's like he obviously doesn't want an entire team of really young guys, but he's really taking to like Caruso and THT, Giannis's little brother. I forget which one is on the Lakers team. I think it's Kostas. Yeah. And Zubats when he was there. And so, yeah, I like that evolution and that sort of future. And Kuzma, obviously, I like that sort of evolution and future possibility with those young guys and an older LeBron 2-3 years down the line.
I think LeBron really likes the young guys who aren't afraid of the moment, too, who can step up and have that confidence. We saw a little bit of that from Zubats. Obviously, it wasn't the same scenario in terms of playoffs, but in the regular season when the two of them were on the floor together. And I think when you look at now with Caruso and THT, who obviously THT is 19, Caruso's significantly older than that. But some of these guys who don't have the name value or don't have the same resume, you know, I think that's what LeBron really looks for. And that's something that with THT that I've really enjoyed watching, is that he's just not afraid to take the three. He's not afraid to make the aggressive move to the basket. And, you know, he's showing that he belongs. The Lakers are really high on him, and I think rightfully so. And honestly, if it's a question of should we put in Deion JR or THT, I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer, and it's THT every time.
Yeah, they're really embracing him. I like the one report I heard where the Lakers were telling him, go out and make a mistake. We've got your back. Like, just play exactly. Hard.
And that's what the message, you know, really should be for younger players who haven't, you know, really established their footing yet, but are getting that opportunity, because otherwise it's so hard to not go out there and, you know, every shot that misses or every mistake you make, you sort of look over your shoulder and go, ooh, are they going to pull me for that? You know, you want to feel supported, JC. And while we're on this topic of feeling supported, you know, I've been hot and heavy in the dating world. Not really, that's an oversell, but I've been back out in the dating world to the greatest extent possible in this COVID climate. And you talk about feeling supported, Manscaped has just got me and then some, my man. These boxer briefs that they just came out, the Manscaped boxer briefs, they have this optimal temperature control with the crop cooling technology while keeping your pride and joy supported, okay? It's like having a mini AC on the go. I don't even know how else to explain it. The waistband, super elastic, so you don't have to worry about all that rubbing that you got down there, if that's what your sort of thing. And when your girl sees it, whether it's somebody you want to date with, you know, just casually, or your girl is in a more serious situation, she knows she's got a real manly Manscaped, man. So if you pair the boxer briefs with the pH balancing liquid products, which you already know all about because we talk about them here, like the crop preserver, and you're ready for just about anything. So you need to try it yourself if you haven't already. JC and anyone else who's out there listening, you already know what you got to do. 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL at manscaped.com. HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code HOOPBALL20, all capitals on HOOPBALL. JC, these boxers are, they're legit, man.
I believe it.
They feel nice on your junk, and that's really what we hope for in the best way possible, you know. So I like that they're supporting Talen Horton Tucker. I like that they're able to really get out there and, you know, use him as a weapon, for lack of a better way to say it, and explore their depth a little bit more. I am curious about the two center thing, because I do think Markieff deserves to play. I do think they will go back to the traditional starting five, sort of regardless of the opposition, given it's going to be either Zubats or Jokic who lines up at the five. And I think if it winds up being the Nuggets, even in that scenario, because they're obviously, you know, they got Jokic and Millsap in that starting five, I still think that, you know, it should be more Markieff and JaVale or Dwight, but I don't think it can be all three of them if Anthony Davis is going to play the center minutes that we all expect him to. So it should be really interesting to match up. If you had to be a betting man, JC, and you had to say, all right, it's going to be Lakers versus this team in the Western Conference Finals, are you ready to stick by the Clippers, even though they blew back-to-back double-digit leads in games 5 and 6?
Yeah, I feel like it's what we've all been wanting to see all season long. I think ultimately they, top to bottom, they're the better team in this series against Denver. I don't see how they can lose to the Nuggets. But at the same time, I didn't see the Nuggets going this far.
I don't think anyone did, except maybe, you know, sort of Jamal Murray or Michael Malone and Nikola Jokic. And I want to talk a little, just really briefly, about Michael Malone, because I just had this thought watching this team earlier today and said, man, it feels like the Nuggets have really sort of taken on the persona, the resiliency, the spirit of Michael Malone. I mean, I don't know that there is a better coach fit in this league in terms of the type of team that he has and the type of coach that he is. Obviously, we know it wasn't D'Antoni, given he just walked away from the situation. But I feel like the Nuggets, who they are as a team, their identity, their personality, and who Michael Malone is as a coach, as a man, all of that, it just meshes incredibly well. So I think it just sort of boosts their chemistry that much more. Of course, you can make that argument for a number of coaches, not to mention Doc Rivers, of course, who's lining up on the other side of Malone right now. But I just had this thought about Malone, and I wanted to share it with everybody. So we shall see who the Lakers ultimately wind up pairing up against. And I feel like no matter what, we're going to need to see the same amount of Markieff Morris. I do like that we're seeing a little bit more Caruso than Rondo when Rondo has not proven to be as effective. I don't mind Rondo playing 30 minutes if he's going to have the type of game he had earlier in the series against Houston. But I don't want to see Rondo playing 30 minutes just for the sake of 30 minutes. If Caruso is being more effective out there, if you could find some good lineups, throw in THT from time to time. Kuzma's been playing a little bit more steadily. I think that the Lakers need to continue to be fluid and a little bit flexible in terms of rotations. But also I think that they are playing with a swagger and confidence right now that they may not have been earlier in the bubble because the execution has been there. And they're seeing the ball go in from distance in particular. I mean, on a night where when you have Markieff Morris, Danny Green, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope combining for 10 three-pointers, not to mention with Kuzma with three off the bench, you're probably looking at a pretty good night if you're the Lakers.
Yeah, Kuzma especially. I even tweeted he made his first shot was a three, and so I predicted he was going to have a big night, and sure enough, he had 20 points on the night. Rondo, the next series, no matter who the opponent is, it sort of needs to be a replication of this series in that Rondo had two really great games. Kuzma had a couple of really great games. Caruso had one really great game and one huge shot at the end. I think it needs to be sort of a mishmash of that, where different guys are going to contribute hugely on one specific night or two specific nights and then be consistent the rest of the time.
No doubt about it. You love to see LeBron going 8 of 10 from the line as well with a near triple-double, 29, 11, and 7 in just 31 minutes of action. Anthony Davis actually played the most out of any Laker in last night's game, which was a little surprising. But nobody seemingly overtaxed. Everybody got a little bit of rest at the end. And the Lakers sit comfortably as they prepare for the Western Conference Finals. Is there any Western Conference, when you look at the Lakers and the placement in the next round before we wrap it up, JC, and you look at the what lies ahead or what could lie ahead and say, man, I bet this Laker is going to have a really big series, or this Laker should take advantage of his matchup opportunity? Because I know how you love those prop bets after all.
Yeah, and prop bets you can take advantage of at mybookie.ag with the promo code HOOPBALL. They'll match your deposit. And football season has started. You can also start making those weekly football parlay bets like I tend to do and lose a lot on. But our HOOPBALL gaming podcast should help you out there. They help me out a lot too. But yeah, in the next series, I think we talked about how the layoff can be kind of concerning because they've lost both game ones up to this point. But, and it was surprising that Anthony Davis did play the most minutes because he, in game four, he bumped hips with someone and it seemed to be really painful for him. And HoopBall's very own Dan Bezbris pointed out on Twitter that Anthony Davis was moving kind of gingerly in last night's game. And I told him not to put that junk out there. But you know, he did seem to be moving a little slowly and he wasn't playing as aggressively. And so, yeah, I was hoping it was going to be like a 24-minute night for him or something like that. And to see him play the most minutes is kind of both concerning and at the same time not concerning, because if he was really that hurt, he wouldn't have played that many minutes. But he should benefit greatly from the extra time off, regardless of how rusty they might be when they come back. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword, this extra layoff. It seems like he needs it. I don't know if the rest of the team really does, but yeah, that's one thing to look forward to. I bet on him to have a really great series next series.
No doubt, and I took a little bit of notice about that too. So hopefully the extra time does give him some time to go, and you don't even have to ask about the MyBookie payout, because I was talking with my buddy over at Vitamin Shop yesterday, and he was very, very happy to collect on his free money as a result of that Chiefs game that we were talking about recently, JC, with that plus 50 bump spread. So not that the Chiefs even needed it. They were dominant, but free money is what they give away over there. So we always like that. It can fuel your prop bet gaming addictions. And when it comes to parlay, JC, I feel you, just on a quick gambling note, because they're so inviting, man. It feels like it's, oh, you just got to click this, click that, and you got to make it happen. And it's always, to me, it always goes one of two ways. There's the rare ones where you win and you, of course, you celebrate. But more frequently, you got one of two outcomes. You say, well, this was blown up from the onset, basically. Like, your first team is down two touchdowns, and it was a favorite going in type of parlay. Or you got some crazy 6-17 parlay, and you all five or six, the first five or six hit, and then that seventh one just goes completely awry. So they are inviting, and I'll probably continue to take advantage of them, but I feel you. There's a reason that gambling doesn't go out of business. You feel me?
Yeah, for sure.
As a reminder to our listeners, you can follow us on Twitter at HoopBallLakers. You'll never miss a show. We are available wherever you stream your podcasts and all other streaming content from. Subscribe, leave a review, tell your friends, tell your loved ones. We appreciate all the publicity. At HoopBallLakers is the show. You can find us on Twitter. JC is at JCDeLeon1. I am at Ethan_Noroff, N-O-R-O-F. And until next time, when we find out the Lakers are in the Western Conference Finals against, we will be back with you. Until then, be good, stay well, and we out.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.